Well, it's nice to look out in the valley and not see smoke. Although I hear we might have some coming back in, but, you know, thankfully God's in control. All right. Well, turn over with me to 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to talk about love today. You know, it's interesting when you know all you need is love. Of course, then some other ones they've got to, you know, lay things out. You know, love is patient and kind. You know, of course that one's kind of fuzzy, but you know, faith, hope, and love. And so many people take 1 Corinthians 13 and use it as what they call the love chapter. And it's sad that the world capitalizes on it in a way to say, well, you know, all you need is love and nothing more. Well, we can love all we want, but if we don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, love is not in us. So 1 Corinthians, I'm going to start verse 13, and we'll get over to here because of the best spiritual gifts. Because the Apostle Paul left off in verse 31, it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for the love that you show toward us. Father, and that love is an example of what we need to have in our hearts. And Father, I thank you that you show us clearly in your word that we need to love one another. And once we're saved, we understand that that love is a selfless love, a love that helps others along, not a selfish love, one where we try to capitalize, but one that glorifies you in everything that we do. And we, Father, we thank you for these lessons. We thank you that the Apostle Paul addressed them, and it was not just for that church in Corinth, it was for the other churches and for all the churches until you call us all home. And Father, we thank you that we can use these lessons wisely in our lives, that we would be victorious for you in all things. And we ask it in your Son's precious name. Amen. And like we started with the first one, you know, the world capitalized on the significance of love. And, you know, some of us probably aren't old enough. And, you know, the love generation, you know, the hippies, you know, Daryl shaking his head back there. You know, but they always talked to, you know, handing a flower to somebody and, you know, oh, love, 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 you know, and that's what they were trying to determine. Well, the Apostle Paul here is trying to point out, you know, the word charity is the type of love that God showed toward us. It's that selfless love. And, you know, what they go through, what is it? The three types of love. Agape is the one that they talk about, but you got philo, and you've got eros, and then agape, and each one's a progressively higher and higher. And you know, Pastor, even I think a couple years ago you taught a lesson about that, and pointed out that all love that we have needs to be that the same type of love that God showed toward us. And we know that here, you know, once we're saved and we get an understanding of that love that God has for us, that we can do things properly. But yet here at the church of Corinth, you know, the Apostle Paul is trying to set out straight. He says, you know, he said, I can speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. I become as sounding brass. And what he's really trying to point out, he says, you can have all the knowledge you want, you can be the most eloquent speaker, and yet all you are is, if you're not doing it in love toward your brothers and sisters in Christ to edify them, you're just sounding cymbals. And, you know, I mean, I think there was a commercial on television, a young guy was up there and he was all ready with his cymbals and he came to the right point and they clanged the cymbals together and then he just kept right afterward. What is this kind of, the parents are kind of hiding like, oh, that's not my son up there. But it creates confusion, and that's what it really does. I mean, you know, a cymbal at the right point gets the emphasis of something up. But it can be just that, as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And the Apostle Paul is trying to point out that the usage of the spiritual gifts, and he lays out just a few here, and at the end of the chapter, he really lays out some guidance with them, and we'll get to those next week, because there's a couple of questions I'm looking in there to make a determination on it. And it always makes a good discussion. But the way in which they were using spiritual gifts was a selfish method. And, you know, in Romans 5:8 it says, "But God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And that's the greatest gift that was given out. We know that gift of salvation. But some of these people were taking these spiritual gifts and they were blessed with them, because it was obvious that the Apostle Paul acknowledged the fact that these gifts were abundant. But some of them, you know, probably knew all these languages and could prophesy, and it got down to a point where the Apostle Paul had to kind of set some guidance in there. Some people would speak in languages and get up there and just start talking away. Nobody else knew what they were talking about. It might not be an interpreter, but he was trying to point that out. But some got up just, you know, to show off. I mean, it would be like, you know, Lisa just standing up here and just, you know, in sign, and, you know, we don't have any deaf here right now. There's no deaf people. Now, you know, Adam would understand it, and a few of us would understand some of the words, but if Pastor wasn't speaking, we wouldn't know what in the world she was saying. Or somebody comes in, and we've had some Chinese students come through here, and others, and if they just stood up and started speaking in Chinese, I don't know that too many of us would follow along with them. But that's kind of what was happening, but they were doing it, can I speak my language? You know, and like the Apostle Paul, who knew several languages, he was just pointing out, said, if I just got up and started just jabbering away in a language that none of you understood, it makes no sense. You can't understand it. It's confusion. And that's what he's trying to point out, is that the way in which these people were doing it was not out of love, but it was selfish. And, you know, the love God shows us in Christ dying for our sins is an example of that selfless love that we need to understand. And we may not have it perfect, but if we mature more and more, and the Apostle Paul is going to point this out later, maturity is the big thing. But it says here, love excels, and every New Testament church is a team. We talked about teams last time, about how, you know, the components in a team. Everybody understands everybody else's position, but they knew what their position was. They knew that there was a leader, and what those all entailed, and then they honed those skills. Well, some of these folks here were doing them, like I said, not out of love, but as a team. It requires a love for the Lord to combine our hearts together and to be successful in our ministries. And that's what the bottom line is when we're doing the ministry or the gift that we're being given out of love, we then it builds, it grows. It doesn't cause division, which was happening here. And a team that experiences bickering, jealousy, grudges, pride, and bitterness is not a successful team. And it'll be, you know, and it's evident that they're not letting the Holy Spirit lead them and guide them. And a church that has that type of bickering going on won't. They might grow because of compromise in some areas, but people that get in there that are seeking to do the Lord's will see that bickering and go, I don't need to be here. Or else they pray and things might change. And they'll have somebody come along that lets the Apostle Paul kind of get them by the scruff of the neck. That's really what he did. You know, so the church at Corinth set a high value. Church at Corinth set a high value on people speaking. You know, they talked about Apollos. And they talked about certain people that could speak eloquently, you know, stand up there and sway their arms the right way and have the right emphasis and, you know, the symbol at the right time. And people, you know, looked at this, and with that, the Apostle Paul addresses here their number one gift that they attached themselves to was tongues. And chapter 14 is going to cover that very carefully. And we're seeing people today, you know, the tongues movement has not died off because they think it sounds really good. You know, and we've probably all heard stories of people in those types of churches that have stood up in the middle and started just doing their babbling thing, and somebody else understood what that babbling was. In fact, I heard one of them said years ago, I remember who I was reading about, but they said that that person recognized the babbling as what the witch doctors did from that native country that they had come out of. The woman just happened to be visiting that church. And it was like, that person had not ought to be talking that way because of this. And of course, the person standing up, they didn't have a clue what they were saying. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times it's Satan having his fun with people. But we see here in the first three verses, you know, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. What the Apostle Paul is trying to point out in this segment is that the love is enriching. And if, you know, people are martyred, if they don't have the love of Christ in them, they're just doing it to show off. In fact, there's groups around the world that, you know, go through some sort of flogging, or there are actually people in the Philippines that crucify themselves. And there's some men that bragged, yeah, I've done this four or five times. You know, and you can see the scars in their hands where they literally had nails driven into their hands and put up on a cross as a symbol. But they were just doing it to show off, not getting anybody to come to the Lord or to grow in the Lord. And that's what the Apostle Paul's trying to point out is that, you know, the gifts of prophecy, knowledge, and faith were ineffective without the added dimension of love. And the gifts of giving, demonstrated surrender of all the possessions, the giving of a life, for instance, is worthless. And that's what he's saying. You know, we hear people, well, you know, I gave X amount to charity. And you look at, okay, and? Well, you know, just, yeah, I can write $1 million check or a whatever $1 million check. In fact, what was it for the hurricane relief, the last boxing match that went on? Something like the purse was $300 million, and the winner took $200 million and gave it to the relief. Well, you know, that was very commendable. And his desire was, I want to see these people taken care of. And you didn't hear a whole lot about it. But, you know, people, well, what was his real ultimatum? You know, what was he really thinking about? Maybe he really had a concern for the people. You know, and there are folks out that do that. That, you know, and you look, you can read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Some of those people, when they were being burned at the stake, were singing praises. They were asking the Lord to forgive the people that were doing this. And it convicted some of those people. They knew what their lot was. They knew what was going through there. You know, there are others that do give all that they have. was it the store chain, JCPenney, I think it was, when they started the chain, the story says, or tradition says, that they said, we will give 90% of what we have to the Lord and live on the 10%. And they said, as far as they knew, up until the actual founder, JCPenney, died, that's how he lived his life. You know, and we think of people, we think of the Salvation Army, for instance. You know, and every time we go around, you always see about charities and, you know, how much goes to this charity and how much really goes out. And then you look and see other charities where they say all this money comes in, you know, and 90 to whatever an up percentage goes to the people. You know, sadly, some of these it's less than a dime out of the dollar goes out, where others it's, you know, a dime goes to take care of the administrative fees to go around. You know, those are charities that want to do good for people, and the ones that give the less amount just want to do good for themselves. And that's kind of what the Apostle Paul was saying. Hey, a lot of these people were given wonderful, wonderful gifts. You know, very well educated, so they probably knew a lot of languages. So some of them just said, hey, look what I can do. Others just were well versed and had the gift of prophecy, and they stood up in the middle of church and started spouting things, and sometimes it became a controversy. You know, I'm thankful that we don't have people coming in here pointing their finger at pastor when he's preaching, going, you don't know what you're saying. This is what they're really talking about here. I think, you know, Brother Charles and us would probably tackle somebody and ask them to leave, you know. How dare you say that against, you know. But they were standing up. They were creating a confusion, you know, when we did that series with Frank Garlock talking about music. I was just creating chaos and dysfunction. So what they were seeing is that with love and wrenching, a ministry without love cheapens both the minister and those that are touched by it. And that's the sad part, is there are many ministries, many churches out there that are only teaching because they know that they're the center of attraction. And it's wonderful when those people realize that, hey, I'm not doing this anymore for myself. I'm going to do it for the Lord. And that's the important thing that the Apostle Paul's trying to point out. You know, Ephesians 4:15, but speaking truth in love. And 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says that we're taught of God to love one another. And God taught us in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. You can look at John 13:34 and 35, says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another. And churches that don't have that, it's evident when you look around and see how things are taught. You know, pastor teaches out of the King James Bible. We, for the most part, all read out of the King James Bible. In fact, when you look around here, that's what you'll see. But he's not going to stand up and, you know, condemn anybody that has a different translation. Unless that person stands up and goes, that's not what my Bible says. You know, that might create a little problem. But that person is creating a dissension and should rightfully be called down for that. But we all read that same translation because we know it's the preserved Word of God. And it was given to us for a purpose, you know, and that we're not ashamed of that. And Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. And so the most important lesson that could be taught is that, you know, we love one another and we want to help one another. And again, you know, I can keep beating that drum. Hopefully it doesn't sound obnoxious and whatever, but we have a unity here in this church. You know, when something comes up, when there's a need that shows up, people pray for them, or they help in whatever way they can. They don't come up and go, man, look, I'm gonna help this person right here and pull out a big fat whatever and give to them and make it a big show. Well, that was kind of what was happening with the church at Corinth. And the Apostle Paul's trying to point out, he says, you know, if you have the ability to help people, then help people, but just don't stand up there and, you know, ring the bell and let everybody know, you know. It'd be like, I think we was in Stockton, pastor decided to have a little fun with an offering one time. He says, I want a hallelujah offering. He says, anybody gives $20, it's a hallelujah. Anybody gives a 50, it's praise the Lord. And he said, anybody gives above that, they can do say whatever they want. You know, and it was just, so we did. Fortunately, we had some people that could give from that. And, you know, somebody gave a real big check, and this one in the back just goes, I don't know what to say. You know, but they were all giving out of love. It was for a specific need in the area. And you didn't really know who gave it. It's just as it was being passed, you could hear people, and whether they were making a joke out of it or not. But it all went for a need that was needed, and people gave of their heart. And they also gave, you know, they were happy about giving. And, you know, some people go, well, that's not very good. You know, that's kind of frivolous thinking. But, you know, what's God want us to be? Joyful givers, right? That was the basis for it. But there are people that can do that. You know, verse 4, when you look at it, it says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity and envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. Now, if we go back, you know, love is edifying at this point. And knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. We saw that in chapter 8, in verse 1. And the purpose of the spiritual gifts and is, you know, when we look at 12:7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And we'll see in 14, we're going to talk to it again, but verse 3 in chapter 14, it says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. That's what he's trying to point out here. You know, that it's not, you know, I've got this gift and everybody's going to know that I got this gift. You know, of course, we brag up, you know, Lisa, she's got the gift for deaf interpretation. Now, she's not up here because she thinks it's the greatest thing in the world, unless she really does. No. She does it for a living, and then she comes here on her own to, you know, and I can only hold my hands up for so long before, you know, my shoulders say up. And then we say, Sylvia, we need to visit you. But, you know, she's doing it because they love to do that. You know, others here, you know, Anna, you know, she has issues with her wrists. But yet, when she's here, she's playing the piano. And then you ought to hear her when she's practicing. That's kind of cool to stand outside and just hear her practice away. But, you know, it's not so that she can show off. You know, and each one of us have got all special gifts. And they're for the right reason. We don't go out and we don't, you know, say, man, look what I can do. You know, Lynn, she's got a green thumb. You ought to see her gardens. She's trying to figure out which one it is. But, you know, I mean, you know, our garden is dying away. Hers is probably still lush and green. Yep. You know, but some of us have got some wonderful gifts, but yet, unless you talked with them, you'd never know what that gift was, because when they do exercise that gift, they're not going to want everybody to show off. You know, they don't want to show off before people. They want to be very humbled about it. And it's exciting when you see that. And it has to thrill the Apostle Paul when he was seeing what was being done right. But it saddened him that he had to talk to people and point out, hey, listen, if you got this love, please do it in love, not to show off. Verse 12 in chapter 14 says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. So when it's done to edify. It's to teach people to live right. And, you know, it's verse 26 says, how then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. And that wasn't happening with this church. It even points out here, it says, doth not behave itself, verse 5, unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. And so what it's really saying is that when that happens, there's not a record keeping. Evidently, some of these folks were, you know, had their little card, and they were writing down, okay, that person, boy, I tell you, you know, I'm going to keep track of that person. They did this wrong to me, that wrong to me. You know, it doesn't keep a record of the wrong. If somebody offends you, well, you might speak to them about that, and maybe they spoke out of turn. Dr. Wiersbe talked about a person that was given some information about another person, and he kept it to himself. I know it was Dr. Rice I was reading about. It was given to him, and the person was just bragging on and bragging on about what was going on, and he just says, well, Lord, I'm just going to have to pray about this, other person. The person that was telling him this came later, just head hung down, and says, you know, I'm terribly sorry about what I said, because it wasn't true. He says, in fact, he says, I have a whole lot of apologizing to do because I started spreading this stuff around. And Dr. Rice was saying, I'm thankful that it only went between that person and me as far as I was concerned, and just said, take it to the Lord. And that's oftentimes, if we're given some information about something like that, doesn't go any further, it goes immediately to the Lord. And that's important. That is so important for us to think about. We don't hold a record. Because I was in the military, and the Medal of Honor means something. It's sad when you read about people that impersonate a Medal of Honor winner. And what's interesting, there was a guy, his name was Michael Page, and he's 80 years old. And when he was in Korea, what was it, 20-some years later, he was awarded a Medal of Honor for the actions that he did there. So he made it his passion, goal, life, is to find everybody or any of the impersonators because of the prestige the Medal of Honor holds. You know, they just don't hand them out like candy. And to date, he's found 500 people. A lot of them were very prominent politicians that were humbled because of that. And, you know, this guy kept a record. If somebody showed up, he would check. He made it his personal, I don't want to say vendetta, but his personal mission to make sure that the Medal of Honor wasn't tainted like these people were. And in fact, the article I was reading, they listed several of these men who bragged about all this and that and had won a Medal of Honor. Somehow they got a hold of one, and he ended up exposing them. Well, he did it, you know, for the honor of these other people that really did sacrifice their lives. You know, and I kind of look at that, and I said, maybe that's the zeal that some of us Christians need to have when something like that happens, is to find out, is this real or not? Well, I'm not going to go out and find out about that specific person. I'm just going to take it to the Lord and ask the Lord to give me wisdom and direction and to know that, all right, is it true or is it not true? And so it says also, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And if we take these verses and kind of compare them, you know, you could look at the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 22 and 23, you know, that if we have our spiritual gifts exercised the way they're supposed to, we'll take a look and it says, you know, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no such law. And those characteristics are important for us to understand and to emulate in our lives. So that we, when we go through and exercise our gifts, we're not doing them selfishly, but we're doing selflessly. And that comes through prayer, through staying read up of what we're supposed to and attending, you know, but the pastor points out on a regular basis, if we're doing those three, we're doing good. You know, the love's going to be, we'll be properly exercising them. And if you look at this next slide, it lists motives for loveless serving. And there's several of them here. And the question that comes up is what might motivate a person to serve without love? I'm going to click a bunch of them up here, but Lisa?
Pride.
Ta-da. It's right there. She saw the slide before me. Oh, no. But no, pride, you know, loveless. You know, some people are given a gift and they do it out of pride. What would be another type of thought? Charlie?
Personal gain.
Okay. Well, sense of duty comes up on this one, but you know, personal gain, because get down here, let's look at that one. You know, recognition and you know, people will do that. Any other type? Anybody might think? Besides what's up here? I mean, there's a variety of reasons for somebody to do them, to exercise a gift that they've been given without, you know, for selfish reasons. And that's what it really boils down to. The other ones I got here is type text here. we could add more onto that list. But, you know, when you think about that, there are reasons why. But how could the qualities be demonstrated in a practical way in a Christian's life? In other words, the proper qualities. How would that be seen? That we would be exercising our spiritual gifts properly. Anybody want to draw on that one? What would be evidence? We kind of talked about it a little bit, Pastor.
It's going to be humility involved.
Right.
Like it's going to be what's possible. It's going to be secrecy there.
Sure. Exactly. You know, humility, things done in secret. There's a lot of things that, you know, pastors admitted that go on here that he really doesn't understand or know that goes on. They just happen. You know, it's like we know people come in and clean the church. And those people don't go up and go, you know, stand by the door going, hey, look what I did. You know, we watered the plants, cleaned the bathroom, we got all the stuff cleaned up, all the little things on the floor are gone. No, they don't stand up and do that. They do it because they love it. We know who they are. We'll point them out someday. See if we can. Charlie, quit looking around. It's the little elves that come in here. But, you know. Yeah, leprechaun. They're working. Bring some back. But you know, every gift that comes up, that they're demonstrated in a variety of ways. Sometimes, you know, the gifts that people are given, it's very public. You know, I want to think that I was given a gift of teaching, but sometimes I wonder. You know, but I thank the Lord that we're given the opportunity. You know. Pride, well, you know, there is a certain amount that gives, but I think the Lord can temper that with people. There are people that are prideful, goes, wow, look at what I can do. And the Lord will work on their heart. Next thing you know, they just do it because they love the Lord and want to do what's right. You know, a sense of duty can be tempered also. Some people goes, well, nobody else is volunteering, so I will. You know, I think back to this, we'd mentioned that, you know, this one man in the church, he tried all these little different jobs until they found out that he was really good at keeping the lawn taken care of and landscaping taken care of. He tried his hand at teaching. He tried his hand at a variety of things. They loved him because he tried them. You know, and he stepped in there. He goes, well, nobody else is volunteer. I'll volunteer for that. And there are a lot of people like that. And sometimes the Lord blesses those kind of people. They may not start out well, but when they're done, they're probably the most eloquent teachers. And I've had people like that. They've started out at the beginning of it, it's like, okay, not quite like fingers on a chalkboard, but and when they're done, all of a sudden you say, wow, that person's got a whole bunch of nuggets that I need to learn from. Because they let the love of the Lord work through them. You know, and when they're doing that, it's all in how carefully they exercise that gift. Are they honing those skills? Are they doing it because they love for other people to take care of other people. You know, we think of folks that do things, and you think, wow, that person, they're always thinking about that. They're always there with the right little word, maybe, or the right opportunity, and they're letting the Holy Spirit guide when they need to do that. And it's all in the attitude. The Apostle Paul was addressing that with them, is, you know, basically check your attitude. And when exercising gifts, that's what it boils down to. Are they doing it so that they can show off? Or are they doing it because they love what the Lord has given them and they want to edify the people, edify the church, edify one another? And in doing so, like Pastor says, every time he gets up here, he's teaching himself the lesson just as much. You know, you point your finger out like this, and guess what? There's three of them pointing back at you. And sure enough, that's all that, when that is happening, not only is the person that is exercising it knowing that they're doing it for a reward in eternity, and they're not looking for any kind of thank you, although they do come along, but they, like Pastor says, in humility when they're done that way. Done for the right reasons. Yeah, there might be a sense of duty in there, but yet that sense of duty may be, I'm going to honor the Lord in doing what I need to do. So it's an attitude of loving one another and loving as we should. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your loving.